Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome, Dr. Paula Price. It is June 6, 2013, a relatively clear day in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to your show. How are you doing for the second time this week online?
I'm excited. You know, twice was wonderful for me. It gave me a chance to enjoy another time of day and another day. So I appreciated that. And it is very good to be here. I want to welcome everybody that's on the call today. You know, I'd like to remind you all, because this is not just, you know, perfunctory for me. This is something that I look forward to. I look forward to every Thursday talking with you all and sharing with you and working together with you on the things that the Lord is accomplishing in your life. So I want to welcome you and again tell you how much I appreciate you. I'm glad you called. I look forward to the voices. Isn't it great to have this every week, Ashley? Isn't this a wonderful thing?
Oh, yeah. I get fired up, too.
I mean, I start on Wednesday, you know? I start on Wednesday. God usually starts on Tuesday, getting me ready for Thursday. So I know he's excited about it as well because he loves to minister to his people. You know, when Jesus was on the planet, the Bible said that he literally ministered all the time, and whoever came to him, he was there for them. And so now he's multiplied himself exponentially, infinitum, and he's there for his people. So I'm a part of that there, and I look forward to it. As I was meditating on today's call, God began to talk to me about some things, and I want to share that with you before we get into our calls. We've got quite a bit planned for you today, and I intend to enjoy every second of it, but I want to challenge you a little bit. This morning is a challenge to your authority. The Holy Spirit said to me, you know, you can, when it comes to us needing a car or needing a house, we need some healing, we need a breakthrough in our finances, even breakthrough in family or relationships. We have, I mean, all of this decree authority. We start quoting Job, you know, 22 or 28. You know, we quote it, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. I love that. The light shall shine upon thy ways. But he's talking, I mean, I looked at this and I've been just kind of studying how it is. And so Job is really getting this long conversation and he's getting counsel, you know, and his friends are helping him out. You know how they do. They're helping him out. But Job, this declaration is to Job. Now, we're often fond of talking about Job's trials as, you know, Job is alone, he's this individual person, and this poor little guy that the Almighty just and Satan just decided to use as a little pawn and to see who was who and to win. But Job was powerful, and I really encourage you who are listening to this call to read Job in its entirety and not just go to the passages that we know. You know, the Satan petitioned, and he had these blows that came from Satan, and God permitted it. And so the reason it happened was because Job was, you know, Job feared, and so the thing that I feared came upon me. That's not why Job went through. Job went through because the Bible said he was mighty and powerful in his time. He was the judge of the land. He was the ruler of the land. He was well-known, not because he just happened to fall on somebody who just thought he was a great guy. People came to Job for counsel. He was the judge. He was the court. He was the magistrate. And he had all of the powers of a magistrate. And so God was excited about how he raised Job up. He was excited. Hey, you know, Satan, I made me a powerful person. And this guy is going to temper you. And he's going to handle the issues that I have with you. Isn't he great? Isn't he a wonderful guy? And Satan was like, yeah, well, you know, let's see if he loves you without you propping him up. And so God allowed Satan to take his props. And we all know the story. But I want to shift your thinking just a little bit, because that's what apostles do. We shift your thinking and your belief system and your values. And so as I was studying this, God said, but you know, you guys are fond of decreeing and exercising your kingdom authority for stuff. But what if you use that same decree authority for your relationship with Christ? What have you decreed that you're going to be a powerful Christian? What have you decreed? It says here, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, you, and the light will shine, shall shine upon thy way. The New English Translation says, whatever you decide on a matter, it will be established for you. And light shall shine or will shine on your ways. What if you decreed that your ways are going to be like God's ways? What if we didn't just go like poor little, you know, crumbly Christians? You know, we only human. We don't have any authority. We can't help ourselves. We just dip and slip because we're just little weak, vile things on the planet. What if we stayed in our kingly roles? What if we stayed in our priestly roles? And what if we objectively pronounced judgment on our ways and pronounced judgment on the ways that didn't work and then decreed what's going to happen? If we can believe God and believe our word carries the weight of moving finance institutions, moving banks and governments and all of that, why is it that it can't move us? If we believe it can change outside of us, why can't our decree authority change us? And so God began to challenge me this morning about that. And he said to me, you know, you are fine and you can decree, cast out a devil. Devil's got to go. Well, you know, you realize that if you can cast them out of others, you can cast them out of yourself. And you can decree that door shut forever. And you can raise your will. And so God is asking us, challenging us today, to be mature Christians. Because what is a mature Christian? One who keeps his vessel well. One who controls his world so that he can be used of God to control the world. That's a mature Christian. First, control your world. And here's what's good about this. The Holy Spirit said, I want you all to go from wishing you could be better Christians to wanting to be better Christians to willing to be better Christians. Decree your will make you a good Christian. Do you know how conditioned we are? We genuinely allow some sort of pious doctrine to tell us we can't say we're strong Christians. We can't say we're strong in the Lord. You know, people are talking about, well, you know, I mean, I'm trying to do better. I'm not trying. I've decreed I'm going to be a good Christian day by day, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. I'm going to be stronger. I'm going to be mighty in God. I'm going to do it because it's who I am. If I've got the equipment, which we have by the new birth, and I've got the resources, which we have by the Holy Ghost, and I've got the manual, the tools, which we have by the Word of God, then why are we settling for being less than what God needs? Do you realize the more powerful you are over you and in your own will, the more you decree over you and bring yourself in alignment with the kingdom of God, the more powerfully God's going to trust you, that he's going to bless you, and he's going to commit things to your trust, your charge? Hear me. I got delivered. I was like, God said, you know, when it comes to trying to be healed or trying to be, you know, trying to be holy, trying to be strong, when it comes to that, we are like wimpy. Well, God, you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to make it in, you know. I mean, you know, like the little tune, we fell down, but we get up. Baby, I'm telling you, I decree that we can make ourselves not fall. If you can decree not to fall physically, to walk straight physically, you can decree how to walk straight as Christians. If you can decree that you're not going to slip on ice, you take control of your physical vessel. What if you take control of your soul? What if you told your soul how it's going to live, how it's going to think, how it's going to behave? What if you use your decree authority? I love that word, decree. You know, Gaza in the original, and it talks about, what if you cut down your own obstacles? What if you destroyed your own enemies, yourself? You destroyed. You know, because in the end, people can't get healed or delivered beyond their will to be so. And what if you started doing that? We like to say we're kings and priests. What is it that kings and priests do? Control their world and minister and serve their God. Conform themselves to their God. That's what it's all about. And so, you know, I think we're a little bit stuck because we don't know for sure if we really want to be like Jesus, because we kind of like maybe think he's a little boring or maybe he's a little wimpy, you know, because we've not met him in all of his fullness. So we might need to deal with some of our unspoken perceptions of the Lord. But he says he's the Almighty. He's shown he's the Almighty. And so today I would encourage you to, you know, one of the words for decree is exterminate, destroy, cut off, separate, exclude. What if you spent the next 10 days telling your soul how it's going to behave? And what if you stopped being afraid of saying, I'm a powerful Christian? I'm not only a Christian of power, but I'm a powerful Christian, and I'm powerful by my decree. God has already decreed it, so I'm aligning my decree with Christ. I am powerful. Well, you know, Dr. Price, I slipped up last week. Guess what? People slip up. You realize that just because you made a mistake on your job, they didn't fire you. Why? Because overall, you're good at what you do. Overall, I'm good at being a Christian. Overall, I love being a Christian. Overall, I'm powerful in Christ. Overall. You know, and here's the slip-up piece. Let's just talk about that for 30 seconds. I'm almost done, but I'm so excited. I woke up this morning. I couldn't wait to get this call. I was like, oh, my God, I've got to share this breakthrough. And so, you know, and so I'm sharing it with you. But here's the thing. If you're working with substandard equipment, which is what we are from the glorified bodies we're going to have in the glorified world with, you know, holy and righteous forces, well, all of those factors are taken into consideration. Let's just say to ourselves, all of that aside, I am mighty. All of that, I decree it. I'm not trying to be mighty. I'm mighty, and I'm manifesting it every day. Today, I'm going to manifest it more than I did yesterday. Next week, I'm going to be better at it still. Hey, by next year, I am going to be able to move down my list of my mighty manifestations. I have a list. I have a working list of things that I am going to conquer day by day, year by year, because I am so committed to manifesting the Godhead in the flesh. I don't know what to tell you. I am committed to showing the world what Jesus is really about. I'm committed to that, and I've decreed that my soul is not going to stand in the way. My memories are not going to stand in the way. My history is not going to stand in the way. I decree my destiny, and I decree my will to go to work on my soul to make it so. And I wanted to share that with you today because I thought, oh, my goodness, what if we kind of worldwide, globally got that? We don't have to stand up any longer and get those little pitiful, I'm just trying to make it in, I strayed and I hope to make it today. We're not going to do that. You don't have to, because that's what the blood is for. Jesus died on the cross to shed his blood for your will to be your will. He said, whosoever will. The number one thing he gave us back is the will to choose him, because we never had the will to choose him until his spirit came on the inside of us. And so those of you, I'm of the persuasion, and I am the person, the apostles will tell you, I'm looking for the mighty. I'm looking for the mighty in God. I'm not looking for the person who hopes it's going to work out. I'm looking for the person who knows it's going to work out and taking their responsibility and exercising their authority to determine and assure that it does. We have to determine it's going to work out. We determine God is one. We can't just say God's going to win it or God has won it and so we're over. No, we're going to alter whatever it is in our power to do. And I'm going to start talking about this a lot. We're going to talk about being powerful Christians. And we're not going to get all caught up in their shame because we slipped on the ice. We're going to get up and move the ice, put some salt down. When we hear the weather report of the future, we're going to salt the ground and make sure we stand and walk strong. But this thing here, he told me, he said, listen, you know, if you decree your soul is going to be what it is, if you decree my work in you, my handiwork in you works, if you decree my word on your life will happen, not just hope, not just pray. God said, but because the maturity, the gargantuan leap from faith is decree. I know it's so I demand it to show up. And what if you made it show up in you? Then you can make it show up in others. So that is my exhortation for today. I was excited. I couldn't wait to get to it, to share it with you. And I want everybody out there to pick up the challenge. You decree a thing before you get so carried away with decreeing all of those things outside of you. Put yourself in the challenge and say, I'm decreeing that I'm going to show up and manifest as the risen Lord. I mean that. We can't say we're Jesus. Well, that's what he said we are. So we're going to do as he is, so are we in this world. So we're going to be exactly as he is in this world, unafraid of anything, undaunted by challenge, determined that it's going to work, knowing the end from the beginning, pursuing the end we've seen, making it show up through what we're doing, we're going to be a different sort of Christian. I said to you a few weeks ago that God is about to release the real Christians, the mighty ones in God. And so we are the mighty ones in God. Let's show the world what this man really did and do it unapologetically. Let's show this world what he produced, what he really made happen, what we've been sitting on and suffocating all of these ages because we're trying to prove to people that we're not bold in the Lord and that we're not prideful. I have great pride in Jesus Christ. I am so proud of that man. I don't know what to tell him every day. Jesus, I'm proud of you. And I am a product of his superiority over all things. And I love being that. So, anyway, Ashley, I'm done. And I know you're not going to let me race past that. I'm not even going to attempt to think that I'm going to race past that.
Yeah, finally have you broken in.
It took me a while. But, you know, I'm now knowing that gate's going to close on me, so I'm not even going to run to it.
That's right. You lay it on, it's all thick, get it thinking, and then you're like, okay, let's go. Wait a minute. I was in three thoughts ago here. I'm so glad this is recorded so we can go back and listen to it. A lot of great things that you said. I remember when you first were teaching us how to pray as prophets and just real Christians with a strong identity and teaching us to take command authority and to follow our prayer captain, Jesus Christ, just all of those things, it's not until you have to say it out of your mouth that you don't realize how many times you don't say how powerful you are personally in Jesus Christ or how powerful he is. When you say, you know, oftentimes we do think he's a little boring, maybe a little wimpy because we haven't met him. And the way we've met him is he's the lowly savior. He's your best friend. He's your personal savior. None of those things, I mean, they are true. Well, he wasn't, you know, he didn't stay too low too long. But that's nowhere near the full dimension of who he is as a person and what he's done. We don't really speak the power talk of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited to even commit myself to this challenge. I also appreciate you saying, you know, put some salt down on that slippery ice of sin. Get a grip.
And assure your grip.
Yeah.
Assure that it works. You know, I'm excited. And we've been on this journey for a couple of years. And as with me and with you and prophets, we've been on this journey. But what is wrong with saying, I set out to do this thing. I'm determined it's going to work. I decree it's going to work. And I'm going to bring God the glory. You know what separated David? David didn't just please God because he danced wonderfully. He didn't even just please God because David was crazy for God. He was like, wait a minute, I belong to the best God going. There's no God better than my God. Oh, no, if I'm going to be belonging to the best God, and he didn't even have money inside of him like we do, he said, I'm going to show him off. I'm going to flex my muscles for Jesus Christ or for Yahweh every time I get a chance. I'm going to let the whole world know he's it. And I'm saying to everyone today, and you know, I've been telling you this, Ashley, telling you all this for a decade or more. And you're almost, hey, listen, I'm so pleased you're almost showing it up, you know. But I've been telling you, God is ready for us to stop crying about being Christians.
Oh, praise God.
He's ready to show himself strong on behalf of those who love him. But how does it begin? Because so, I don't know about you, I was reading all of that stuff. I said, but God, how do I do this again? Now, Lord, how does this work? Because you need somebody to show you the way. And the way is the very authority you use for stuff, begin to use it for you. You can command your vessel. It won't work day one, 100%, but every day it's going to work until eventually your body is going to line up with you. And until it does, you do whatever you need to do to care for yourself. But I'm telling you, when I realized that when I began to say enough is enough, we're not going through this, the devil is a lie, I'm not having this happen. No, when I begin to decree a thing, it is established. And actually, you can agree with that. You can attest to that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm excited, and I hope everybody on got this. I'm like you. I'm glad that we record these because this is something that you need to pass on to all your friends. Let's stop being wimpy, crying Christians. Let's stop apologizing because we serve the true and living God. Let's stop repenting for being saved. We repent for redemption. What is that?
Yeah, well, you do. Yeah, you don't even realize how apologetic you are as a Christian, you don't want to play your Christian music too loudly. If you're out in public, if somebody gets in your car, you'll want to turn a sermon off and do all of these things. Meanwhile, nobody else cares.
I want you to
know. The mall does not apologize for playing this bumping and grinding music when you're just trying to buy a pair of shoes. There's a whole lot of things, and the world doesn't apologize for being who they are. Yeah, we feel we have to apologize and accommodate and smooth over and backpedal out of being Christian.
No, and why? Because somehow or another, we got caught up in thinking that love meant pitiful.
Yeah.
You know, love is a condition. It's a state of existence. It's not always an active emotion. And so I just wanted to share to everyone today how wonderful it is to be saved. But I am excited because I got a deliverance, and I'm one of those people. If I get a deliverance, I'm going to share it with everybody else. And the bottom line is Jesus Christ is all that, and we need to find out. Those of you who have some questions about it, go to my website and get my teaching on the continuum. I've been teaching on this thing for 3.5 years, and finally it took me 3.5 years to get to the bottom line of it, and that this man is all of that, and he did not just walk. He's not sitting in heaven saying, I'm all that. He said, guess what? I put all of that in you. Now do something with it. Do something powerful for God today. I want you to go and do something unbelievable for God. And what? Because he wants to show off now. He's in the mood to show off. So since he wants to show off, give him something to do. Give the Holy Ghost a little bit of work. Give him some pressure to work on. And watch God show off for God, because God is always going to glorify God. You will mess up and do 1,000 things wrong, but you know what? God wants some glory. He said, I will deal with what you did wrong later, but right now I'm going to get my son's glory out of you. And so, no, none of us are going to be perfect, but we don't have to be perfect beings to pursue God perfectly. And that's what I'm looking for. Isn't that powerful? So, Ashley, do we have calls, or are you going to let me go or what?
There will be a revolt. Okay. First on the line we have today is Tia. She had a dream, and she cannot find the information in the Prophet's Dictionary. She said she already wrote down her notes, so it's very to the point to ask you what something means that is concerning her. Tia, welcome to the Paula Price Show. Your first time getting through to Dr. Price, I believe, correct?
This is my second time.
Second time. Okay. Well, I know there is one person for sure on the line today. It's his first time getting through to you, and he's very excited. So, Tia, welcome to the call.
Hi, Tia. Where are you calling me from?
I'm actually calling from Georgia.
Georgia. I get a lot of Georgia people. Tia, I'm going to have to work my way to Georgia because I get a lot of calls from Georgia. You know? So I feel like that might be my Macedonia. I don't know.
I think it is.
How are you doing today, beloved?
I am doing wonderfully well. First of all, much like you keep saying, you have truly hit my hot spot, and I'm trying to focus on the reason why I called you, but, I mean, my spirit and my soul, everything is just leaping from what you've said already, and so I'm going to try to focus. my goodness. I was calling because I had a dream, and I can't find the interpretation, and I don't want to just go anywhere. Basically, my husband and I, the dream put us back in my hometown, and we were walking down a familiar street in the neighborhood where I grew up at, and we were near a childhood friend's home, and for whatever reason, we stopped at the home to say hello, how are you all doing? And then we continued on. Before we went to the home, I noticed this couple, and I noticed them, and then I didn't notice them. When we left my friend's home, I happened to glance at the corner of my eye, and I saw the couple. They were there again. It's like they appeared again. But I noticed that they had the same look on their face, and they were aware of me, us, whatever. So as we continued down the street, next thing I know, they released a dog, and the dog started coming after us, and we started running. I thought the dog was gone, and I started pleading the blood of Jesus. And next thing, as I thought the dog was gone, the dog appeared, and it jumped. My husband positioned himself to where he would be like, protecting me. But the dog jumped over my husband. As the dog jumped up, it turned into a bulldog. And it jumped up over my husband to attack me. And the dream woke me up. I woke up swinging and basically yelling. Mm-hmm. And I just keep having these dreams about pretty much dying, or not that I'm dying, but someone is constantly after me, and it goes from one level to another level, and the last one was the one about the bulldog.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
All right. I want to ask you just a couple of questions just to make sure I got the points of what you shared with us. The first thing I want to ask you is who in the family is the minister?
I'm in ministry.
You're the minister. And who's the prophet?
Me.
You. Okay. See, I'm already helping you out, aren't I? And so now you're in ministry. Are you in full-time ministry? And as a minister, are you a pastor or a teacher? What are you doing?
Currently I'm a minister. Yes, currently I'm a minister.
In the church?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The church that you're in, are you're saying to me you serve in that church, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Because I just wanted to make sure. Now, what does your husband do?
We, together, the role that we've been given is over the marriage ministry, and so we're over that together.
Okay. So he's a minister, but so, okay, so then you say you're the minister. What is he?
He doesn't have a title, per se.
Okay, so he's just helping you out.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I have a reason for going this way. You know, I have a reason. Is that right? Yeah, I know I have a reason. Okay. Here's what I want to tell you. Whenever you dream about being back anywhere, particularly back home, that's a couple of things are happening there. You're going back in time. That means the situation that you are about to face reaches that far back. Mm. So that's the first thing I want you to get. The situation that you are about to face that's going to bring about this particular contest that you're going to have, it goes back in time. It goes back to not only your hometown, but it goes back to some relationship that you began as a kid, you know? And also, it also goes back to some things you did. Like in your case, there were some games you played that opened up some doors. There were some things that you investigated as a kid that opened up some doors. And even though it was fun and you went on with life, you know, it's still for you because of your call. That's why I asked who's the prophet. Because of your call, you picked up something. And so, so God is telling you, I'm getting ready to face off. You're going to face off with something that has been buried in your soul, buried in your psyche. You gave this thing access and authority in your soul way, way back. Now, that's the first thing. When you look at couple, there's something in this marriage ministry that you're doing, something is brewing. It's brewing under the table. So, because that's why you saw this couple twice. Two is always coming, okay? There's something in that marriage ministry that's brewing, but it's going to trigger something that you encountered way, way, way back in time. You know, I want to say it's in your teen years because it seems like from what I'm seeing in the spirit, this thing you picked up in your teen years. So that's the next thing. So you saw the couple twice. Look at that, twice and twice. So this has to do with that marriage group that you're in. And also, there's somebody in your marriage group that is really, really, really unclean. And in a minute, and you've been dreaming about this person, whoever it is, you've been dreaming it and second-guessing yourself. That's the other thing that God is saying. Dogs mean a couple of things, but when you're talking about the kind of attack you have, you notice it jumped over your husband because he has no authority. And you're thinking he has authority to cover you that he doesn't have because he doesn't have that level of clout in God yet. So your husband was going to protect you as a loving husband, but the problem that you're facing has to do with your calling, has to do with spirituality, has to do with the dominion and the office that God has assigned you to. So here, you know, God said when you face your greatest challenge, you have to turn to Jesus Christ because he's not doing it. The other thing God wants you to know is that you are not yet yourself. ready to take on what you're doing. I don't know how you got in this position, but you are vulnerable. You're opening up your family, your home, and your marriage to a whole lot of things. And you're doing it because of some childhood passion and some childhood desire. I don't know if family broke up, whatever. And so God is telling you that you're going to have to gear up. And I want to say this to you, gear up yourself. You're going to have to, number one, you have to get prayed up. Number two, and I'm going to pray for you today. I'm not going to send you back naked, okay? You're going to have to get prayed up. Your husband's going to have to get ready to learn and stop just being a help, because he does not, he's not yet persuaded that this is his call, and he's not yet persuaded that he wants to give Jesus this much attention. So he is not, he's just, he really is just a traveler with you. He's just coasting through because he can't defend the gospel. He can't defend you. He can't defend the church. He can't defend anything. Which, and the dogs know it. It's kind of like the seven sons of Sceva. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? And so you're known in the spirit. Obviously, you're the prayer warrior. Obviously, you're the intercessor, because you're known in the spirit. You're so known in the spirit that this thing is wants to take you out before God takes you up. And so you need two things. You need a good prophetic company, covering and apostolic covering. I don't think your church has strong enough prophetic covering.
It needs that.
You also have, your church has some witchcraft stuff moving up in there, trying to move around and trying to sow itself in your church. And then you're trying to take on it, and you yourself are not ready. Because even when this thing came at you, you still don't know your authority. And so that's it. Now, the last thing God said to tell you, and I don't know, you'll tell me about this when I'm done. The last thing he said is the material you're using. You're reading, using some book that's also opening up these people and you to some dangers. So whatever this material is, you're going to have to set that aside and get back to the Word of God.
Well, I mean, I don't have to tell you what I know you already know, because I know you picked it up in the spirit. Every single thing that you said is, it is literally a confirmation, even as recent as something that was said to me on yesterday.
You got a lot of changes to make, a lot of changes. And I will tell you, too, we need to, I don't know what kind of a church you go to. Is it prophetic at all?
No, ma'am. I think that there's a desire to want to move in that direction. But no, ma'am. There is so much that's there in the realm of things that have been opened up and allowed. It's a traditionally Baptist church that they're trying to move. I think the pastor is very apostolic, but it's a traditional Baptist church, and there is so much that is in there and even allowed until it's literally everything that you said already.
Yeah, y'all got stuff. I mean, it's like crazy in there. Here's what I will say to you is that God is warning you. You better make sure you want to go forward with this. And if you do, you're going to have to learn to master putting on the whole armor of God. And you're going to need prophets, and you're going to need praying intercessors around you, because for God to tell you, this thing has an authority that reaches back to your childhood and your lineage. So you have got to, deal with the fact that you're either going to come out of this thing, because God is getting ready to change your whole life. And I mean your whole life. You're going to have to come out, and your husband is going to have to be ready to move with you, because he's not going to be able to defend you or stand with you in anything. When I was called to the Lord in 1982, I had a similar experience. That's why I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, you are wrestling with some serious things in that marriage group. It is really, really unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them folks not married, they lying to you, they're not married, not trying to be married. Okay? So you got a whole lot going on in there. And so the Holy Ghost is saying, if you really want to serve me, then you need to separate yourself, sanctify yourself, and go where I am being welcomed and celebrated. So if you're not going to be an intercessor for that church to turn, then you need to make some decisions about where God wants you to work.
Well, let me back this is it because of everything that has been going on, my mind is I don't want to do anything based on how I feel or what I see happening. And I've gotten to the point where I'm not even clear. Everything, all of my teaching tells me that this is it. And I made a comment earlier in the week. I spoke out loud that I felt like my season was up there. But then I stopped, and it was like, and even when you were talking earlier, when you came on the line, it just reminded me of the stuff that the Lord was saying to me. And I just kept hearing over and over again, you know, access granted. I have already given you the authority. You have everything that you need to do what I've called you to do. You need to do it. I've already given you access to walk in what I've called you to walk in. And I just kept hearing the same thing over and over again. It was like, I felt like he was saying, I told you access granted, access granted. And I don't want to move if God isn't telling me to move, but I don't want to stay and fight something to where it's not my time and it's not what he's calling me to fight.
Let me ask you two more questions. You know me, I'm the question lady. I want to ask you, number one, are you and your husband both filled with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Okay. So, but you're the one that's reading the Bible and studying the prophetic stuff.
Yes, as far as studying the prophetic stuff. And I'm also in a company right now, and I took your assessment. And also your assessment is saying some of the stuff that you're saying, too, right now to me.
Well, you know, I don't know it because I don't remember all of the people who take it. But I want to finish right. this thought, if you don't mind. I'm telling you, God is letting you right now. You know, before God tells you to go, he has to dislodge you from something. And so often he will use dreams and situations like that to dislodge you, to break the soul tie between you and where you are. And so that's what this is about. That's why you're feeling restless. That's why you're feeling uncomfortable, because he's getting ready to tell you where to go. He's getting ready to shift you. And so I am not telling you to shift until you know, because the true living God, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, does not tell you to go out and not tell you where to go unless he's sending you someplace that's totally out of the scope of, or it's usually geographically, of what he has in mind. You know, like he's not telling you that. He's telling you, and you're in a company, so that says a lot, but he's telling you, I want to find out if I tell you to leave, are you ready? So he's showing you, he's making his case with you right now. He's literally, through these dreams, making his case with you. He's saying, hey, this is what's going on. Now, you've got this, you've got that. I've been dealing with you prophetically. I've been trying to show you and letting you know what's going on. But now I want to know what you're going to do about all I'm dispensing. What are you going to do about my downloads? Are you just going to say, wow, this is entertaining? Because God's not giving us dreams for television sake, okay? He's literally telling you what he is setting you up to do. So he's creating it. And he's also telling you that you and your husband are not in the same place. And so that's going to be a tough decision for you. It's going to be a harder decision than you want to even face right now. So before God tells you where he wants you to go, he shows you why you need to move on. And so right now you're in show and tell. And so he's showing it, and he needs you to say, you know, where I am, Lord, send me, where you want me to go, whatever it is that he does. But it won't be long. God says that in 3 weeks you will get your information. And he said, in 3 weeks, you're going to know yourself firsthand what he's saying and where you're going to go. He said, and after you step out, you're going to recognize your life is going to go up in smoke, because anytime a prophet obeys, folk don't like it. So you need to get geared up and make sure that you mean it. But God is also letting you know, but if you decide to stay for the sake of your marriage, he can't help you. That's really where the Lord is. So he's letting you know. You just say, you can hang on in there. But you realize you are writing another destiny. In reality, you're unwriting your destiny, and you're falling into a fate. So you've got a lot of praying to do. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, put some time in prayer. He says, spend 10 days praying and ministering to me. Don't even Don't even talk about this again. Just spend 10 days praying. You know, you're going to go online. We record all of this, so you'll be able to go online and deal with it. You could take it to your prophetic company. You know, I'm not concerned about what I say or how I say it. Otherwise, I wouldn't record it, and I wouldn't keep it online. So there you go. But I will say this to you. This is not going to be an easy decision, but the consequences of not going are going to be worse than you ever imagined. But you know that too, don't you, Tia?
Yes, ma'am.
And you don't want to know it, but you do know it, don't you?
Wow. Yes, ma'am.
Here's the beautiful part about us having this conversation today, and then I'm going to Brett and move on to my next caller. But here's the beautiful part about it. There was, you know, without a call like this and access like this, you could just leap out and not know what's going on, or you could hang on while the ship is going down. Either way, you know, but you can now take this information. You can pray over it. You can take it to the Lord and sit before him. He'll take you to scriptures. He'll take you, you know, into his spirit, into your archives and show you what he's talking about. But God says to tell you, as a matter of fact, it is emphatically right now the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am ready to use you. He's given me John 15. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. I'm telling you, you are in that prophet moment. You're in your Abrahamic, Mosaic moment, okay? You got a whole lot of reason to stay in that church. It's comfortable. It's settled. You know, you're recognized. Oh, you got a lot of reason. But God says, not so. So I'm going to go for you. I hope this was a worthwhile call for you today, because
oh my God.
I do what I do. What can I say? I do what I do. I'm good at it because I set out to be good at it, and I do it because I want you guys to win. I need you to win, but I also want this man, our Savior, who labors with us all the time, losing more than he gains, to get what he wants. I'm definitely committed to God getting what he wants, and I ain't see right now he wants you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then in 10 days, after you finish your 10-day prayer, we're going to tell you, you can call me back.
Yes,
and if
absolutely.
Ashley knows, you know, call my office, so because you might not get through on the Thursday call. You know how that goes. But call my office, and we're going to talk about what God says to you in that 10 days. I'm sure most of our callers would want you to call on the line so they could hear. But in any event, they're coming to talk about we're going to talk about this in 10 days, and you're going to make some hard decisions. And before you tell your husband, you need to get the whole thing, because you have the kind of man that you can't give him half the story. He's going to go in panic mode. He's going to go in fight mode. Baby, you are going to have problems. I mean, I'm telling you, this guy is not going to take half the story, so don't open your mouth until you clear.
You're right.
I know, because that buddy is not, don't tell me half the story now. What do you mean? How you know? Well, by the time he gets through throwing at you a barrage of questions, you won't know if you even breathe.
Okay.
Hallelujah. He's good at what he does. He's a blessed man, but you need to work out, you need to know how to move strategically with God. And sometimes we move emotionally instead of strategically. So God's going to give you some great tactics for making this happen. But first, he's got to make sure you're going to go the distance. Because one thing I teach all my prophets, God plays to win. So if you decide to start doing it and then you decide, oh, Lord, this is not what I thought, I changed my mind, don't do that, because that is not how God works. One of the things that I learned that lesson a long time ago, God said, if I said I'm going to do something and you step out and you do it at my word and I tell you that I'm going to make it happen, you need to rest assured whether you want to give up or not, I'm going to finish.
Amen.
Because my word can't return to me, boy. So this is the, I'm telling you, over the next 10 years, the church is going to learn the man, Christ Jesus. They're going to learn the real Jesus Christ, because he is nothing. He's not nothing. I won't say nothing. That's extreme. He is not a whole lot the way we think he is or the way we've heard. So we're going to learn that. So when you start doing this, God is not going to let you off the hook. He's not going to back off, and he's going to be relentless in his pursuit of you. So This has to do with your mama. You can blame your mama for this, okay? Because this has to do with your mama.
Yeah.
Father, thank you so much for Tia. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her, the journey you brought her on, even the childhood that you brought her through and the things that you made happen for her. God, I thank you. And I thank you. I'm excited, Jesus, because, hey, we're getting another prophet ready to step out in the kingdom and get on the king's team. And so I'm excited about that. Lord, I'm thanking you for confirming every word. I'm asking for you to reinforce it, but also to enlighten her, to open up this word so that she can even see more clearly how it relates to what you're doing. Let her see your hand working and let her feel you moving by the Spirit to bring her into purpose and destiny. God, I send peace to her home. I send peace to her husband. God, let the love that they have for each other that carries them through so many things, let that love still go through this. Lord, that love has weathered many, many storms and still triumphs, and let it continue to be as invincible as it has always been, even as she moves into this next dimension of her life. And while you're dealing with her, God, I thank you for not ignoring the husband. Minister to him, God. Speak to his heart. Deal with his life. Even walk him through his journey to know that his destiny is just as important as hers, and that they are not bookends and carbon copies of each other, but they are a complement in your kingdom for your glory. And we thank you for doing it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. And the Holy Ghost said to give you Romans 12:6, so you understand why you and him are going this way.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm done. I've done my job, so I'm going to go on to my next caller, and you're going to do what I said. Hallelujah. You're going to do what I said.
Hallelujah.
We're going to get together in 10 days.
Amen.
God bless you, woman of God.
Oh, God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Woo! Ashley.
My God.
You know Jesus is a honey man. You know he is our honey.
Yeah.
Are you alive? Did you go on a coffee break?
No, that was intense. That was, you know what? We're going to take a 90-second break.
Oh, my goodness, you're going to give me 3 sips of coffee, huh?
That's right, and we'll be right back.
Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your Ministry Assessment Questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
All right, we are back with our next caller. Dr. Price, are you ready to break somebody else beyond?
I am, and after this caller, I want us to talk about our former.
Absolutely.
All right, so I'm ready for my caller. Who am I going to talk to?
Okay, you are on the line right now with Yvonne from Florida. She is calling for prayer for her family and direction concerning what type of medical care she should have for her mother.
Hello, Yvonne from Florida.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Didn't we talk about your family going back a little bit?
Yes, we did. We did talk about my mom. My mom had a heart attack at the beginning of the year, and she's recovering from it. And the word that you gave me was that my mom's recovery would be based on how well my family cares for her. Mm-hmm. And at the time that you gave me the word, I didn't fully understand it. But now the word that you said is very accurate for this day. And right now I'm just calling, you know, for direction and wisdom on what to do, on how to care for her and how to bring the family together in caring for her.
But is the family inclined to do it?
It's a challenge bringing everybody together.
Because they're busy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. Not only are they busy, you have to recognize, too, Yvonne, that, yeah, they're busy and it's difficult, but this is mom. They,
right.
You know, you grow up, you have a picture of your parents as being completely immortal, you know, invincible, unstoppable, and now they have this wonderful, powerful woman who needs them. And kids are not often understanding of how to be there when their parents need them. That takes a special gift and a special anointing. And it takes a child that understands their own destiny as a human being, because, you know, this is part of the life cycle. So the first thing, you know, before you get frustrated with the family, understand some of them are just afraid. They're afraid to touch her. They're afraid of the day that she's not going to be there. They're you know, completely anguished over her limitations and her mortality. So you're going to have to be just a little bit patient with them to do that. Now, having said that, what kind of care do you feel your mom needs right now?
Right now she is in a nursing facility. And the family wants to bring her home to continue the care there, because we've had quite a few challenges with her in a nursing facility. Okay. And so I'm really carrying, like, most of the responsibility, and it's becoming, it's like it's taking a toll on me for us to even bring her home, which I want her to come home, but I don't want to do this by myself. You know, it's a lot of us, so I want us to be able to do this as a team. I've given quite a bit of myself. And so it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
It is a challenge. And I'll tell you something. You know, oftentimes, you know, we think, like we used to do with kids, we think that there ought to be this equity of services and this equity, this fair, you know, fair distribution of work and responsibility. And that just doesn't happen. Their lives mm-hmm. are not equal, and their responsibilities are not equal. A couple things you want to think about. You know, you need to find out where she's going to stay. If they cannot invest their time, then they need to invest their money.
Mm-hmm.
When they invest their money, then they can invest. You all can get some good quality caregivers to come in and to take care of your mom. So that's the thing that I see. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know all of them, but they're very busy. Their heart is in the right place, but mm-hmm. some of them are way too busy and others are way too broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would suggest, and I'll pray to this end, but I would suggest that you all get a financial pool and that you create an account called Take Care Mama account, and
mm-hmm.
you have everybody put their percentage in it to pay for caregiver and all of the other things she needs. If she's going to need that, she's going to need the transportation shuttle or some sort of ambulatory care. I mean, it's going to be an expensive thing, but it still probably will be a lot cheaper than having her in a facility, and certainly it will be a lot better for her because she's with her family, she's loved, she's not just a patient and a number. So my suggestion to you is that you all get that thing, and then everybody commit to it by putting it on auto draft so that we don't have to worry about, girl, my rent was due, babe, my phone was going off, you know. See, I know the things, baby. I know we can pay flesh is flesh. And so and every now and then flesh gets fleshly. So here's what I would say. Make sure that they put it on auto draft, or maybe you can get some sort of company to manage that for you, so that not only are the funds collected, but that the bills are paid, and that these people are paid. So if they really feel like they don't want their mom in an institution, we need to put some action behind that sentiment, and they need to decide, okay, it's going to cost this much, create a budget, make sure you do all of your due diligence, get a budget and all of that. It's going to cost us this much to take care of mom, who took care of all of us. And this is what we need to do, and we need everybody to put a card on file with the bank or whatever and get this thing taken care of.
Okay.
Now, to me, that seems pretty logical, but for you to think that all of those people are going to go and they're not going to do it. Plus, you don't even have that much traffic. You realize how much traffic that is? That's a lot of traffic, you know? And then you decide on who's going to, you know, who's going to visit with her. Maybe if she gets on her feet, where she's going to go and visit it and just receive the family and enjoy the family. So I would suggest that you do that. If possible, and if your home is not large enough, then perhaps you want to get her into a facility near home so that everybody can visit her, and then everybody visits. That'd be nice. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Okay, so that's my suggestion to you, and I'm praying. I hope it works. You're definitely, you know, I'm always interested. See, I surprised you because I remembered, didn't I?
Yes, so, I'm very surprised.
Yes, I care about these things. I care about your lives. I told you I want your lives to work. So I'm going to pray now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for who you are and what you're doing and how you're doing it, God. And I'm asking that you would touch this family, that they would give back to this parent, this matriarch, all that she poured out to them over the years. God, I'm thanking you for taking charge of this. I believe, God, that the reason this is happening like this is because you don't want this woman neglected or abandoned, that she has a special place in your heart. And so you're charging her children to do right by her, to do right by the gift and the treasure that was put into her life. So, God, I'm asking that you would spread that sentiment over these children, over each and every one of them, not only them, but their spouses and their children as well, so that this woman's end of life will not be futile and that she will not think that her labor has been in vain all these years when she was loving and taking care of her family and sacrificing for them. So, God, I issue from the very edict of the Almighty the spirit of sacrifice on these children, that they would release what they need to do and be diligent and faithful for it for as long as this woman remains on the planet. Meanwhile, God, I'm asking that you would step into her health situation, and God, as she receives good care, that you would restore her and to give her her life back and to give her mobility and give her productivity back in her life in Jesus' name. Lord, we anoint her limbs to move. We anoint her heart to work. But God, we also anoint her broken soul and broken spirit to be revived by the Holy Ghost. And we praise you for it, Father. Amen and amen. Yvonne, keep me posted.
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I will.
All right.
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ashley.
Yes. That was good.
I'm back.
That was, I love the recall.
Well, I remembered it because I remember when I gave her that word, she was like, all right. You know, so I knew she had some, you know, belief issues there.
Yes. Well, now as we are shifting into our Tulsa Prophetic Forum topic, I have on the line today somebody you may know, Chief Prophet Tala Price. I think you've met her once or twice before.
Yeah, I think we've known each other for a good 34 years, right?
I think it's 35.
Ah!
Prophet Tala, welcome to The Line, the Paula Price Show today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited to be on the call. Well, hello, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am fine. I am so fine. Listen, first of all, you guys are going to get it because you tricked me. You know that, right?
Did
well,
we now?
For our listeners who do not know, this is Dr. Price's daughter, our chief prophet. So that was the joke about she may know her.
But, you know, it's so funny because, first of all, I'm glad you're on the line because, you know, daughter, my biggest passion is that you and I do a couple of shows together because you are so much a chip off the old block. And if I sound like a bragging mama, I don't care. I'm going to do that. Because, well,
I think it's allowed. I said, I guess after 35 years, it's allowed.
Yes. But I'm glad that you're on because we've been doing these prophetic forums for, you know, you've been with me for years since college, before college. You surprised me because I really did not expect that you would stay with me in ministry, and yet you stunned me because you did, and that was something that God worked out unbeknownst to me. I didn't know that you were a prophet, and then when you started manifesting as a prophet all those years ago, I was, again, doubly stunned. And then I did not know all of your executive, administrative, operational, and creative ability, and those came out. You know, it's fun to raise a child and think you know all that God put in them, only to discover how much more you have. So what I'd like to ask you to do is share a little bit about, A, what made you stay, and B, how we have come through the journey of the Tulsa Prophetic Forum.
Oh, amen. Well, I think part A would probably be answered very quickly and simply. It's called the Lord, you know. I think he does every prophet that way, you know. When you want something from your life, your introduction to the prophetic is meeting God's, you know, loving and sovereign will and plan for your life. And I think that he did have a plan for my life. In fact, you told me that plan when I was 14 years old. I just was in a little bit of denial about that at the time. But you did let me know that I was going to be a prophet as we were sitting at the dining room table. And actually, you were writing Constructing the Contemporary Prophet at that time. And so I was actually coming home from school, sat down, and I think I was trying to have a snack. And you just looked at me and said, I don't really care what your life plans are. You're going to be a prophet to the nation. And I just sat there and thought, oh, Lord, you know, maybe not. And so, but it didn't matter because my life has been completely orchestrated by the Lord. I'm a living prodigy of your steps being ordered by God. And he did order my steps from, you know, that day at 14 years old all the way to where I am today. And I've enjoyed the journey. It's been up and down and all around. No, God and I didn't always agree on the plans for my life. I thought I could, you know, maybe hightail it another direction and maybe do this prophetic thing another way. But God, you know, saw fit that I would stay right in the cleft of the rock and to be developed by such a powerful person in his kingdom. And I woke up this morning thinking about that today, how wonderful it is to have a strong mentor in your life to guide you through this process called the prophetic and becoming a prophet, because it has its own, you know, unique experiences and, you know, development opportunities. Is that a nice way to say that when you're coming into this thing? And having someone who has not only gone before you that can, you know, help you mold and shape and fashion who you are in God's kingdom, not only having that person, you know, to do that is great, but to have someone who laid down a foundation for this position to do so is even more wonderful, you know, to give you not only the training and the education, but some of those inexplicable nuances of being a prophet and the nuances of having this kind of prophetic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, having someone break that down and explain those things to you. We were just remarking as the prophetic company how, you know, it takes prophets to be around prophets and then understand prophets, because we just have so many, you know, unique experiences that you can't explain to people, you know, that happen between you and God in the back room. And so I'm just so excited to have stayed and to be a part of this and to be under such a powerful woman of God and apostle who's, you know, definitely caused my life to be what it is today. And I'm glad to be a part of PPM Global Resources. It did train me and really bring me into everything that I am. One thing I like about you is that when you see that God's word, or when you have a word, I should say, from the Lord about what he said on a person's life, you don't give up. And you did not give up on me, even at times when I'm like, I don't see this. I'm not this. I'm telling you, this is not it, okay? I can help you with this business. I can help you get this thing going. I think you have a great call. But you didn't give up. And I think that that's what's great about being under your mentorship is that you go for gold. You do harvest the greatness in people. You go digging for it. You go hunting for it. And once you find it, you don't let go. You didn't let any one of us here, all the young women and men that you're mentoring, you didn't let us go. You didn't give up on our call, and you pressed us to give God the best and to pull the best out of us. And I think that that is just remarkable, and that's part of the reason why I stayed, even when there are times it's like, God, this is crazy. What am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing. But having someone say, yes, but this is the call nonetheless. This is the call that's on your life, and you will do this for the Lord. And so I appreciate that. Wow. What can I say about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum? You know, it started really, my goodness, as just us trying to get prophets together in the city to start having dialogues about the issues that were going on and really beginning to speak into not even just matters of the kingdom, but matters that were, you know, surrounding our community and what was going on in the world. And from there, you know, ended up with opening it up to those from the outside to come in and bringing other prophets in to pray, to speak, and do all of those things, and then establishing it as a standing, I will say, a standing institution, because that's what the forum really is. When you come, it's not a typical conference. It's not a preach-a-thon, as you have already shared before. It really is an institution. You come there to get prepared, to get equipped, to learn, to be educated, to be trained, and really to be around those of like mind. One aspect I like about the forum a lot is that when prophets come, particularly those that are out, I call them out in the brush, kind of like the John the Baptist, you know, out in the brush. It's like you and God, and nobody even knows what a prophet is, and or everybody's scared of the prophetic, or you can't mention it, or you're not well received, or you've been rejected. What I like about the forum is that when you come, it's like coming to a watering hole. You're able to drink and be refreshed and revived, and most of all, be kind of affirmed and realize that, okay, so I'm not that crazy. There is something out here to explain what's happening to me, what's going on with others, what I'm doing in this environment, what God called me to be, and to get that kind of just basic confirmation of who you are. And what I liked about opening up for outside people is that even though they love the training and the education, which is profound, they love coming in and being able to connect with other prophets. You've often taught us, which I found to be true, that prophets are very symbiotic. And so we need to be able to be in an environment where we can talk through some of those things, those experiences, what you were able to do, even just in the first caller, you know, answering the dreams, answering the questions to say, okay, God, so I'm not, you know, losing my marbles here. You really are moving in this. And being able to bring grounding, you know, to a lot of the experiences and a lot of the things that happen to us. So one of the great experiences that come out of it is that not only do you get the training, the knowledge and education, start getting vocabulary and definition for what it is that God has called you to do and what is happening to you, but you're also able to connect with those of like mind and like spirit and like heart so that we can feed off of one another and walk away from that experience empowered and enriched and prepared to take on the next thing that God has for you. And so we've been able to really bring that experience to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, as well as fine-tuning a lot of the curriculum. We'll share with you guys when you come out this year a lot of program opportunities we have, credentialing opportunities we have. One of the passions that Dr. Price has is to bring accreditation to the offices of the apostle and prophet, because we're the top two. We often know that you can go to school for being a pastor, teacher, and evangelist, but really being able to get a valid degree in those top two offices has not existed. But that's one of our passions, and we'll share that with you at the forum, and you'll get a chance to see why that is so important, you know, in terms of bringing that those credentials to it. And so the forum has really become, to me, an established institution. You can come expecting to almost have a three-day university experience. It's a walking module, if you will, and it's dynamic. You know, you still get prayed for, you still get impartation, you still walk away refreshed and revived, but you walk away feeling prepared and less scared about what God's calling you to do in the future, and really scared about even taking on what he has for you. And that's just some of my, you know, things that I enjoy about the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, because every year I get to watch prophets come with some burdens, but leave with their eyes open and the understanding being enlightened and ready to do what God's called them to do. And that's what's most important to us, is that we're ready to do what God's called us to do and be able to give the King what he wants and what he needs out of this generation.
Amen. Well, I think that I don't have anything else to say. I don't know, maybe Ashley got something to say, because I think you've covered. But before we move forward, I want to say, you know, I am proud of you as a daughter. I'm proud of you as a minister of the gospel, and I'm excited about what God has done. I esteem you in so many ways, because it's one thing to have a dream, but it's another thing to see that dream take on body, take on hands and feet. And you've been very faithful in that, so I thank God for you. For those of you who are on the call, I want to personally invite you to the forum. If you haven't gotten your ticket, if you haven't called us and reserved your spot, do so, because this is powerful. And when I started out as a minister, my goal was to produce a product, competent ministers that Jesus Christ could rely on in every sphere of his kingdom, not just his church. And so I'm seeing that happening. So if you haven't gotten your tickets or whatever, hey, make the effort. I promise you, by the Holy Ghost, you will not regret the sacrifice. I promise you that if you press your way, decree that it is so, Bring it in. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you have to go to 10 people and say, guys, hey, listen, I just need $20 from 10 people. You know, I don't care if you have to go to 20 people, because when you really want something to happen, you push and move heaven and earth to make it so. And if a prophet can't make it so, then we are all in trouble. And if a prophetic minister cannot move to make it happen for the king, we have a deep concern. So I want to encourage you for doing that. Dr. Tyler, I'm going to thank you for joining me today. It was a surprise, but as usual, you know, as eloquent as always, you've been a blessing. And I am honored to say, you know, you are that chip off the old block. And I've got, what, 7-8 more of you guys, so I'm excited about that. Let's just invite them again. We invite you to come out. We're going to go to Ashley. She's going to give you the final details, dates, times, and whatever else, other exhortations we may have. And then we're going to get another caller. God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, Dr. Price.
Ashley.
All right. Here's the announcement for the forum.
Do you love listening to Dr. Price live, but wish you could see her in person? Well, we'd like to invite you to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 27th through 29th. This dynamic prophetic event goes beyond your typical ministry conference, bringing prophets and prophetic types together to develop, train, equip, and empower. Early bird registration is $99 for individuals and runs through May 15th. For more information or to register online, visit TulsaPropheticForum.wordpress.com or call 877-419-1299. We'll see you there.
All right, there's that information for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum that is right around our corner here in Tulsa.
I know, it's hard to believe it. We've been talking about it so long, and like, wow, it's here.
I know. Well, you talk about events for months and months, and they're coming up, and then it's like, oh, it's this month, and then, oh, it's next week.
Oh, I know. Isn't it something? Well, I've enjoyed waiting for it to happen. I do want to mention for any of you all who are in the Arizona area, I will be in your area. Go to my website, drpaulaprice.com. Get all of the details. I will be with Apostle Paula Hines. And that's just a little foretaste, giving them a foretaste of the forum. But most important, if you're in that area and you want to drive on over, hey, you can get all of that information off of our website. Meanwhile, I do want to say if you're a pastor, if you're a leader of any sort, may I suggest that you gather your prophets, your intercessors, your ministry team, whatever it might be, and bring them out to the forum. Let us do the training for you. We can, you know, jumpstart what you're doing and sometimes clarify it. So, Ashley, I am ready for another call. Do I have another call?
You always have another call, Dr. Price. And today, your next caller is Curtis. He was very excited. He's been on the call for weeks, he said, and he couldn't even believe he got through. So, Curtis, welcome to the call. He's calling from North Carolina, and he needs ministerial and personal direction today.
Exciting. Hi, Curtis. How are you doing?
Dr. Price, you won't believe that my phone just died and the show went off. And I called back in thinking I would not get back in the queue, and I was still in the queue. My heart has been racing for the last 20 minutes because I thought I wasn't going to get on after trying to get on so hard. I'm so blown away by the first lady that you ministered to. I mean, you don't sugarcoat. My God, I'm not accustomed to this level of prophetic accuracy and all that, but I'm this is my high honor to speak with you. I'm so blown away by the ministry. God knows I am. And thank you for taking my call.
I'm excited about your testimony. Even the Lord obviously has an answer for you today. He meant to talk to you today because of what you just shared, that you were still there after trying for so many weeks. So we're not going to waste your window. Now, I hope you have enough battery juice. Do you have enough battery juice?
I got a second phone. If this one goes out, I got the other one.
All right, because I don't want to be in the middle and then, although we do record it, so you won't miss anything. I'll just keep going on like I don't know any better, and then you'll dial back in tonight at midnight, and you'll listen to Blog Talk again and get the rest of your word. How can I help you today?
Well, Dr. Price, I have been in the wilderness. My life has been totally disrupted when I lost my job. It's June 19th, it'll be 17 years. I started a business, and I had gross receipts of $1 million a month, half of the year, for 6 months out of the year. And God shut the business down, and I didn't know why, but he called me into ministry. And I've been literally living from pillar to post for the last several years with potential to start a $1 million business up every day of the year. But I have obeyed him by pursuing ministry, preaching in the streets to homeless people and you know, the street people, and loving them and starting a food pantry and being fought against from the city to the churches to shut me down for preaching the truth and for doing what so many would not do. And I'm just like, God, does this really happen? Do you really have to, you know, go through the same exact stripes that Jesus took in order to be a servant? And that's exactly how I feel. But I know God has spoken that the wilderness is over. And I'm saying, well, God, what do I do? You told me that the apostolic grace was on my life. I love ministering to these people. But I also feel like we can start several businesses that he's already given me the products to invent that'll be multi-million dollar businesses each. And I'm just saying, well, what do I do with all this when I come out of the wilderness? I love souls. I love ministering. But I just see that it's so easy to make money, and you can employ hundreds of people in your own company instead of praying for the economy to get better. I buy into everything that you said. I decree cents of million dollar businesses and enterprises. And I'm not saying this as a theory, but I have actually lived this already. I've seen God taking me from being unemployed to within 2 years making a tremendous amount of money. I'll just put it like that. And it's not even hard now because I know how to do it now. And when he pulled me out of business. Yes, ma'am.
I'm jumping in. I'm ready. I'm listening. I was listening to God and listening to you. I want to jump in. First of all, you are so frustrated, man. First thing I'm going to do is just pray peace of God on you, because I know what it is to know that you can do it and still to be stuck in what God told you to do. So I want to tell you a couple of things. I'm going to surprise you with my counsel. So I hope you're good and comfortable.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you good and comfortable?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Here's what I do know. I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to just answer it as honestly as you can, and don't read into it. When God told you to close your business, what did you say, 17 years ago? Is that what you told me?
No, I lost the job 17 years ago, but it was only about 10 years ago when he told me to close everything down.
Okay.
I said, no, how am I going to live? This doesn't make any sense to me.
So now listen. I don't want you to say too much because you'll knock off my thoughts. So just try to answer me as directly as you possibly can. But listen. So for 7 years you were riding the crest. For 7 years you had a wonderful business and it was very successful and you lived well. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now during that time, Curtis, what kind of ministry were you attached to?
I was a member of a mega church, Church of God in Christ. I just sat on the pews and I gave offerings.
Okay. Now, I'm going someplace, so work with me. So you were just a member of the Church of God in Christ. Now, when God told you to stop, to close this business, what did he say to convince you?
Well, everything had already started to crash because I started a new arm of the business. I invented a product. I manufactured a product in China that had never been produced in the U.S. before, and it started going down. Everything started closing down. As Seen on TV did not fulfill their order. They wouldn't call us back. So everything just started stopping.
Okay. I needed to get that backstory because I'm hearing what the Holy Ghost wants to say to you, but I just want to get the backstory. Let me just tell you a couple of things. When God tells you to close a business and do ministry, he's really saying to you, I want to orientate you, baptize you to my world and my needs. Now, again, this is being recorded. You're going to need to go back and listen to it a few more times. But that's the first thing. So he's telling you, you know, during that time, I want to transition you. Now, what kind of church are you in now? Are you in the same church?
No, ma'am. We have our own ministry, but we attend, you know, spirit-led and prophetic ministries because...
Okay. Yes, are you a member there?
Not right now.
Okay. I don't need you to explain. I'm going to deal with that on another call with you. We'll talk again because you have a lot to offer the kingdom. But I want to finish this journey if it's okay. So
yes,
here we go. God needed you to shift churches. He needed you to shift your paradigm. He needed to shift your motives for making money. He needed to shift you to get a kingdom mentality. And he also wanted you to live his experience with his people so that you'd know why he wants to enrich you. Okay, so that was the big picture. I'm giving you the Holy Ghost big picture. Now, bringing it down to you, here's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you, said it, and as eloquently as I've heard it, I can make money tomorrow, I can start businesses, I do not want to just pray for people to do it, I want to help them do it, hire them. Well, then that's what God wanted, and that's not what you wanted to do before. So God is going to make you a great incubator. You're going to be a wonderful business incubator. You're going to see, not only because you are able to do a lot of things, he's going to do that. So you want to start putting together a big plan, a major plan, where you can start helping people get money. You know, helping people start their visions. You are talking to people who are extraordinarily gifted and talented who couldn't get a break. They would have never met a you had you not come off your perch. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
They would have never met a person who had been there the way, unless you had come off your perch. And you would have never seen people that are genuinely believing God, who are gifted, who are talented, who are capable, who will never get a shot because the person that can make it happen will never cross their path. So God needed to get the true gospel in you. He needed you to begin to think apostolically, prophetically. But he most of all needed to give people a bridge. You are a bridge from their poverty and destitution to potential and opportunity. And you are that bridge. So you needed to do that. You needed to go. Now, the years had to do with divesting you of your old ways for you to take on the fullness of God. And so God's now ready for you to come up out the wilderness. You're right. He did tell you that. He's bringing you up out the cave. But now you're coming up as his man, not just a member of his body. You're coming up now as his instrument. You're going to be on his team. And God wants you on his team. So you're going to sit down at your table. You're going to pull out all of that stuff you did. You're going to update what needs to be updated. You're going to draft and strategize how you're going to create it in a way that others can prosper off of you, because we know true riches is not what you have in your bank, but how many people you make rich. See, that's true riches. And that's why Jesus got, he rules, because he made all these folks rich. And so you're going to learn to do that. God wants you to be a wealth maker, not just a wealth acquirer. So you're going to learn to do that. And you're going to, trust me, this pall that's been over your life is now gone. You're now going to be heard. Where you weren't heard before, you're now going to be heard. Where you weren't seen before, you're now going to be seen. When you finish this process, God said, shut into me, son, for 3 weeks, and I'm going to give you the plan and give you the vision. At this time, do not be hard-headed or haughty, so that I can't tell you what to do with my treasures, because you have at least 3 more witty inventions that's going to take you right where you have to go, and 10 business ideas that God wants to make happen through you. So the other thing he wants you to do is work with a team. You don't like teams. Work with a team. You're going to work with a team. That's what he wants you to do. I tell you, he said you don't like teams, but he needs you to do it because God has so much that he wants to get done. One mind, one soul can't make it happen. So you're going to work with a team. And so that's what the next thing. And then the other thing you're going to do is not forget him on Sundays when you get busy. See how God doesn't like that?
I did do it.
I know you did, because you know Jesus is talking. He said, this wasn't no abrupt, I just want you, know, I'm just mad with you, just quit. No, God wanted you to be his man 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And if you're going to go tap into his riches, because, see, God will let you mess over mammon. You know, because he said, listen, if I can't trust you with another man's, I'm not going to trust you with your own. And if you don't take care of man's money, you are definitely going to squander mine. So there are a lot of lessons, and you're going to love it. I see God also telling you about an institute, and you're going to establish that Marketplace Ministry Institute where you can begin to help these people learn these things. Because let me tell you something, it's one thing to give a person a job, but it's another thing to change their soul enough to keep it. Those are two different processes. You know, we can get somebody through a hiring process, but I'll tell you, they'll hit the same reason that made them destitute before. When they hit that reason again, that cycle is going to kick in, and they're going to be back where they were, all of your efforts wasted. So you're going to have to change souls. You know, you have to convert people's soul from suffering to success. Because some people are so good at suffering, they can't even understand what you're talking about. You know, they just want some money in hand. Can I just buy me a bike, get to the store? But God wants you to do better than that. You can create. You can create a force, an economic force for the king and the kingdom if you listen to his plan. So, yeah, he needs you to get back to work, but he needs you to sit down and let him tell you why he did what he did the way he did it, so that you will take those lessons and you will not only assimilate them in your own character and in your own behavior, but you'll be able to communicate them to others. Does this make sense to you?
Perfect. Yes, ma'am.
So here's what you're going to do. You're going to do all of that, but before you start this new venture, this new plan thing, because God is ready to run with you, so you're not going to get a lot of time. As a matter of fact, he's going to drown you once you get this thing good to go. He's going to drown you because he's been waiting to get you out of hospice, out of the hospital, and back into the service. So he's going to drown you with a whole lot of opportunities, and you're going to have to learn to be strategic. There are a lot of things you learn, because the way God moves prophetically is not necessarily the way the world moves entrepreneurially, and that's very different. And so you're going to learn a lot of things. You know, I really wish we were going to sit down and talk a little bit, because you have you're on the cusp of where God wants you to go and needs you to go, but you're going to have to forget how you did it, and you can't try to recoup what God shut down. And that's where he's stuck with you right now. You want to recoup, and God's not telling you to recoup. He's telling you to build anew, build on a new foundation, start on the foundation that I've been breathing in your ear night after night after night. The Holy Ghost, literally, Jesus breathes in your ear every night. That's why you keep getting ideas. Because he breathes in your ear every night. You see potential in everything. You can look at the little something somebody else did, salt shaker. You see potential. You see needs to be met. You see solutions to be developed in everything, because that's who you're going to be. But you're going to have to do it as God's man. Because now you're going to do it with the king's wealth and the king's resources, not with mammon, but with the king. And Jesus has a whole different set of rules and protocols that you have to follow in order for him to continue to release his wealth. And he's going to test you on every stage. And he's going to test you in the deals. He's going to test you in ethics, morality. He's going to test you in temperance. Because all of that other lavish extravagance, God doesn't want that. God doesn't operate like that. God is a keeper, and God is, he wins because he keeps, and he keeps because he wins. He keeps what he wants. He doesn't waste his stuff. So you're going to, really, I don't know what kind of apostolic and prophetic counsel or covering you're under right now, but I would love to think that you're going to get that person who's going to give you the rest of God's mind on this, because you have a huge future, and you have huge potential, but you and God have to cut some brand new covenants, and he's been leaning on you. That's what you're feeling in right now, that tightness in your head. God is leaning on you. All right. You know, okay, don't mess with me. All right, I'm ready to start. Okay, can I trust you? All right now. You know, and you start acting out some of that old stuff. He gets tense. He pulls back, and he it's almost like he's trying to choke you, because he has you on a short leash.
Amen.
Yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you hang up?
No, ma'am. I'm here listening to every word.
Okay, and I wanted you to understand that, because your relationship with the Lord Jesus is going to change radically over the next few days, because he wanted you to get through for me to tell you how he's going to initiate this thing and how he's going to behave with you and how you're going to react to him, and he means that. And so it's going to be different. I'm going to pray for you. You have an exciting future, but you are a very strong-willed man. You're very decisive. You are a problem solver. You're extraordinarily independent, but you're the guy that God will start talking. You'll get 30 seconds of what he's saying. You gone.
Oh, God. You got me, Apostle. God knows you got me.
You got, you know, I'll pick up the, and then you run to the, and here's what you do. You run into the wall, and you're like, God, I didn't get the rest of it, and he won't talk.
Oh, God.
Because you're so excited. You are a natural warrior. You're a natural winner. And because because of that, you don't have, the one thing God said to tell you, this is your scripture. He's going to say it to you over and over again. In your patience, possess ye your soul.
Wow.
That is your word for the rest of your life.
Wow.
For you, patience is hard because you want quick fruit, quick money, quick cash, quick turnaround. And God said, in the kingdom, they make what cannot die. You understand that in order to make something that cannot die, you have to realize it's going to take its time.
Amen.
See, because God's not in, he's not doing that turnstile stuff, you know. He is genuinely into establishing institutions that are going to be in the earth long after we're gone, that he can feed the generations. He wants to feed generations through what we're doing and through what you're doing. So you're going to get to, but you're going to spend that 3 weeks with the Lord. It's going to be wonderful, and he's going to literally, if I can use this to be just very, very blunt for a minute, he's going to whoop you behind to get the rest of that out. He's going to baptize you anew. Yes, he is. He's going to baptize you anew. It's going to be a brand new baptism. It's going to be so different. You're not even, as a matter of fact, for a while, you're going to walk around feeling like half your soul was taken. He's going to baptize you anew, and then he's going to impart to you his wisdom. But he said to tell you, you leap and run ahead of him this time. He said he's not going to get involved any longer.
Oh, God.
So be still and know that I am God. Because he definitely wants to use you to be exalted among the heathen.
Wow.
So this is going to be a bittersweet journey for you. It's going to be bitter because you've got to shred a lot, but it's going to be sweet if you let God have his way.
I am.
And so I'm thinking this is great. So I'm going to pray for you. I hope this helps you. I hope you got the counsel. And just remember, you can listen to it again and again, but God wants you to know that you and him, you and he arm wrestle over patience. And when God didn't move fast enough for you on a deal, you went some other way, and he did not like it.
Oh, God.
That's what you went through. And just because he didn't tell you why he shut it down didn't mean he did not have a good reason. Because he told you to wait on a matter because he had another person to do that deal that would have made it work. And you went someplace else because you were in a hurry.
I did. And I, Apostle, what it is, a partner from Houston, they started a sister company in California. Mine was Coastal Skate, Inc. Theirs was Coastal Skate, LLC. And they were going to siphon all the money from my company to their company. This was my partner who invested $100,000 in the company, and they had already taken over the company before I got started.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they set me up, and the guy told me, he said, I got lawyers that'll keep you in court all year long, and it won't cost me a dime. They literally got, after the fact, I learned the hard way after the fact that they destroyed me before they even gave me the money. They were going to take my corporation from me.
Because you went when he didn't tell you to go. I'm going to give you a word.
I did. And I regretted it for 7-8 years. I regret every day that I did wrong. I did
well,
it.
Well, we're going to lose that. Because you know what? Your regret will hold you back. You said you're sorry. You repented. You gave it up. Let's go on with God. But here's what I want you to know. Remember this word. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Amen.
Keep that passage. That is a model that I live by. When my enemies are rising up against me, I need to find out where I am with God. And so when a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him, because God still makes peace in his high places because all dominion is his. So remember that. So for God to set that up, you and God have some deep issues. But you're gonna, this 3 weeks is going to be great for you. And you're going to go and do it, and you're not going to go and tell everybody and talk it over with everybody. You know, you're going to have a real shut-in. You know how you enjoy your experiences with God so much. Again, you don't let him finish. You're not going to do that. You're going to go ahead on and let him finish this great work that he's done in you and bring about the destiny and the calling that's not only on you, but it's on your family tree.
Yes. Yes.
Let God finish this work, son, because if you do, I promise you, you will have a testimony that will stun and amaze for ages to come.
Wow.
That is the word of the Lord concerning you. And you and the lady that called in the beginning, all of these calls, you all are the reason why I do it. Because the king so wants to confer with his people. He so wants to sit down with his vessels of the future and the vessels of the now. He calls them my vessels of the now. And so he so wants to do that. And you're one of those vessels of the now. And so God wants you to take heed to what I'm saying. And if when you go back and you download, you know, you can record this and just play it and play it and play it until God finishes the work that he's doing in you. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And let me close this out with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Curtis. I thank you for what he's done. I thank you, Lord, that he's your son and that he loves you dearly, but that he's like a little David to you and that you really enjoy him. Now, God, I'm asking that he would yield and surrender himself, that he would create that place in his time and in his calendar to be with you, to get the full story, to get it all. And then I thank you, Lord, that you put around him sage counselors, wise counselors, men and women who understand the way of the Lord, the kingdom of God, and how you do business. I thank you that you put those people around him. I thank you, Lord, that you hide him from the enemy, that you literally shield him from adversaries as you get him ready to go forward to do what you want. Now, God, as he finishes his training and the finishing touches are put on him, Lord, I'm asking that you give him, put the pen in hand, and then write out your plan and write your vision plain enough for you to do what you want to do. I thank you that you order every step, and that, Lord, that you begin to give him internal triggers in his soul to know yay, nay, to go, not go. Give him that soul, Urim and Thummim, that will let him know when he's on par with you and when he's not, that he may not only repeat history, but that he doesn't waste the treasures that you have for his life. And I bless you for doing it, Holy Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Apostle, thank you. Thank you so much, because some things you said that may seem generic to other people, I know that only God told you those things about me, and I so honor you for taking this time. And when I get my situation changes, I'm going to come out there and see you and meet you personally. Thank God for you and what you're doing. God bless you, Apostle.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Stay in touch.
Yes, ma'am, I will.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Ashley.
Well, praise God. I think I got a little choked up there at the end, but I'm all right.
Isn't God a good God?
He is.
And I'm telling you, we serve a sugar pie Jesus, but he is a super God.
He gets in the nooks and crannies of everything.
Oh, he really does. He really does. And I'm excited about that. You know, when I do calls like that and I start seeing God, you know, because right now God is culling the earth and he's mining the planet for his now vessels. And I appreciate being able to speak into their lives and to minister to them and to break the yokes on them and to get them back in the King's service, back on his staff. And I'm excited about doing that. And if that's what God raised me up to do, I'll do that to the day I go home to be with the Lord. I will rejoice in doing it because it touches my heart. People like him, Tia, and all of the people that I've talked to today. You know, I've had fun today. You know that, right? Had fun today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? I'm excited about what God is doing. And so, anyway, I've got time for one more call. Is that right?
You do. Yeah.
Well, you know, Ashley.
What's
okay. Hey, it depends, right? Well, you know, I let me tell you what happens. You know, we talk, and while we have our callers on the line, I just want to say I know I can rush these calls. I know that. I know I can get 100 calls out, but I won't get the depth of wisdom out. And that, to me, is what the body of Christ needs now. So I would rather give enough to help people like him get back on their place and everybody can call and pass it on to their friends and pull their revelations out and pull their wisdom out than it just run through like a machine and folks still don't know. I want every one of you who are listening to me, I want you to know it is important to me that you win. I don't want to just give you a prediction. I want to give you some practicality to make sure that the word of the Lord does not fall to the ground void in your life. I want to do that. So I know I can take a lot more callers. And listen, when I can get on every day, I might do that. But now it's important to me that each and every one of you walk away knowing that you have met and heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important. So having said that, Ashley, let me get another call in.
Absolutely. We have on the line Evangelist Patton, and she is calling from Georgia. Another Georgia call, and
yes,
she would like prayer in general. So, Evangelist Patton, welcome to the call. You're online with Dr. Paula Price today.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Apostle. I just want to thank you for all the words that have went forth so far today, And as you were speaking earlier, I could hear the Lord say that you are an expression in the land. And I just was, you know, I am so thankful for you and for your ministry, because I know that eyes have not seen the things that are getting ready to come forth from your hand. So I just say God bless you. And
thank you. That's a blessing to me. I appreciate the words, and I take them to heart.
And, Apostle, today I just wanted a prayer. I really needed some direction. I've been in the ministry for 2 years. I have set for a year, and this is going on in my second year. And it's just like, after I've been set for a whole year, I really don't feel like I don't have direction, I guess.
Okay, so now let's talk about the ministry that you're in. Well, what kind of ministry is it?
Okay, the ministry that I'm in right now is an apostolic prophetic ministry.
Mm-hmm.
What I do now is I teach, but I don't teach in the church. I teach a class on a teleconference class.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm in, what is it, intercessory ministry, prayer intercessory, and that's about it, you know, all that I'm doing right now.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a very hard question. I hope you take it in the spirit of what I'm saying. What makes you an evangelist?
Before I came here, I was an evangelist. I was out doing ministry. I was in the nursing home. I was, you know, in the streets. Wherever I went, that's, you know, I was an evangelist. But once I moved here from South Carolina, it's just like I never could really get a good footing to really do anything here outside of, you know, the ministry that I do on my job. I work on a children's group home with 6 boys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do now.
Well, do you have an established ministry? I mean, in other words, do you have, you know, Evangelist Patton Ministries Incorporated or anything like that?
No, ma'am. At first, I started out. He had even given me the name for the ministry, Chosen Vessel Ministry. And I have everything. I mean, I wrote everything out. And at one time, I was pushing out, you know, really trying to birth the ministry out. But I guess when I got to Atlanta, things just didn't, you know, work out, pan out the way that I expected.
Now, why did you go to Atlanta?
I came to Atlanta to help my sister. My sister, she had came home from work and found her husband deceased. She had found him deceased in the floor. And I came to Atlanta just to really assist her. But in the meanwhile, I had been dislocated from a job for a few years. And I came here because the job opened for me here.
Okay.
And to
so
help her.
Okay, so here's a couple of things I want to tell you. You need to establish a ministry if you're going to do a ministry and if you're not going to be comfortable with your church.
Okay.
That's number one. But even when you establish a ministry, you don't need to do a ministry in your church. There are, I'm sure, a number of evangelistic locations in that region that you can volunteer for, and you can contribute your resources to your experience. So here's what I want. Let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned that when you relocate to another place, it is more than just your body that gets disheveled. Your mind and your thoughts and wisdom and logic that you would have won't even work, especially if someone doesn't walk you through the lay of the land. That's the first thing. Second thing, it takes a good 3 to 5 years for your presence in a land to be established. You have to literally carve a place for yourself in the spirit and in the natural, which is why I'm telling you, establish your ministry. That's step one to carving a place for yourself in that land. Okay? Next, I don't know the kind of a church of apostolic or prophetic leaders you have, but what I have learned is that they tend to be quite discerning. You need to find out why you aren't doing more. Maybe they have very good reasons. Maybe you're doing things in a way that doesn't click with theirs. I don't know, but there's always a good reason. And before we think the worst, let's go find out what the facts are. I would suggest you sit down with your leaders and find out what's going on and what do they need. Maybe you're giving what they don't need. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility. Okay, that's the next thing. And then finally, I would like to invite you to I don't know if you've done it yet, but to take my assessment at drpaulaprice.com so we can find out what your strengths are, what your trip-ups might be, and all of those other things. If you should do that, you'll get an assessment. You'll get a 30-minute post-assessment advisement with one of my advisor prophets, and they will just clear the cobwebs out. But regardless of how you do it, if you're going to tell somebody, I'm Evangelist Patton, but I need you to be an evangelist.
Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, I'm going to just tell you to be Barbara, okay? Because that's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be an evangelist and do the work of evangelist. Do your job. Because if you believe God, I don't care if you're on Mars or in China, you're going to do that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you to believe God, because I don't challenge your call, but I want you to make full proof of your ministry. Is that fair enough?
Amen, yes.
Okay, you can. I mean, you don't need anybody to tell you to go find a nursing home. You've got credentials. You've got a resume. Put that resume together. Put your credentials together. Go to the place and say, this is what I want to do. I want to bring prayer on Tuesday. I want to bring a little song ministry over here, or whatever it is. But do it, because here's where God is. And I'm telling you, I fell into the same trap when I came to Tulsa. That's why I can speak to this. Here's God. If I called you to do something, just because I changed your location doesn't mean that I told you to stop doing it.
Yeah.
So I did that. And see, sometimes you come and you're waiting for somebody to knock on the door. You're waiting for somebody you're waiting for all of these chance encounters and these chance happenings to open up a door for us. But God said, ask, seek, knock.
Mm-hmm.
And I got those lessons. So I can speak to this, not because I'm taking a judgment call on you, but because I hear where I was. And one of the times God told me when I walked out on my job, you'll appreciate this, when I walked out on my job in 1985 to start ministry, I'm telling you, I sat home, I waited for about 3 months, because I don't know, I'm thinking God's going to send somebody, send a call, rain a check, I don't know. And I was in prayer one day, he said, I never told you to quit and sit.
Mm.
I was like, what? He said, I never told you to quit and sit. He said, and if you gave 40 hours to that job, you're going to give 40 hours to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to start working and laboring. And then the next day, the next mountain I had to cross was the one that said, okay, God, you got to do it. You got to do it. No, you do it. You work. He said, I said, whatever your hands find to do, do it. Let the hand of the diligent prosper. God has a call for you, and there is a ministry for you. I don't doubt that at all. But God needs you to use that same drive and aggression you had at home in this new land. Fair enough?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, and that's what he wants you to do. So establish the ministry he gave you. He gave it to you for a reason. Get that thing on the book. Put it on the book, and then begin to see what God will do.
Okay.
In Jesus' name, we thank you for this mighty woman of God. God, I thank you for the prophetic anointing on her life. I thank you, Lord, for the spiritual gifts and manifestations that she has. But God, I thank you for opening doors that no man can shut. And Lord, for her, and let her open her eyes to see the windows of blessing that you got pouring out. We give you access in that land. We give you access into that land to make inroads into this calling and destiny that you have. We bless her, Father, and Lord, I bless her sister. God, speak to this woman. Comfort her soul, and God, show her the new steps and the new walks of her life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to let me know when God opens your first door.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty?
I will. I will.
God bless. Okay. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Ashley.
Yes, yes, yes.
Isn't God a sugar, though? Isn't he wonderful to us today? He just feels like chatting today. He's in a mood.
Yeah. So, you know, he has that pull up a chair, let's talk, let's work through this, and let's move forward kind of tone.
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I'm on these calls, I think about all of the lessons that I had to learn and all the things I had to live. My goodness, the wisdom that you get out of just staying with Jesus in the thicket and in the tough times.
The yeah.
You know it is the wisdom that we get. I think that I have time for one more call. Would you agree?
I would agree. And you know what? I have one more for you.
Great. I thought you might have one there. I figured she must have something sitting on our desk. So let's do it.
All right, I have your caller here. She's calling from Louisiana. And she would like prayer for you to restore her spiritually and prepare for ministry. She's having a struggle because she moved back home, and she's dealing with her family as far as her expected financial contribution. Caller, you're on the line. I want you to tell Dr. Price your name because I think I'm going to get it wrong.
Lanitris.
What? Say it again. Help me up.
Lanitris.
Lanitra?
Lanitris.
Oh, Lanitra. Manitris?
Lanitra.
Yes, ma'am.
L-A-N-E-A-T-R-I-C-E.
Okay. I'm going to go with that because it's a pretty name, and I sure know it does not deserve to be butchered.
I didn't want to get it wrong.
I bet you a lot of people mess over your name, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Do you have another name that you give us? Is there a shorter version?
Well, my mom them call me Vit, which is a partial of my middle name, Lovett.
Okay. Well, if I mess over the pretty part, you'll let me get to Vit, all right?
Yes, ma'am.
I think you have a beautiful name, and I think your mom has some great vision for you. She gave you that name. I pray that she gets to see that vision fulfilled in your lifetime, in her lifetime. That's important.
Yes, ma'am.
How can I bless you?
Well, I came back home in October, and this is an ongoing thing that's been going on, I guess, since I've been like a teenager taking care of my family. And since I've been home, it's been about finances or trying to, like, get money from me, and it's like what their vision is and what they want to do. And constantly when I actually came home, I was sitting on the sofa, and I said, Lord, I said, why did you bring me back home? He said, for your ministry. And so I've just been going through a struggle because it hurts me when my family come to me and look at me as, okay, I'm your way out. Or they come and tell me this is what they want to do, and they look to me, and I have to say no, or sometimes I get some kind of repercussion or rejection from it.
Okay. Now, first of all, God sent you home for your ministry. So when you went back home, are you living with family members? Is that what's happening?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So are you able to pull your weight financially in that arrangement?
Actually, that's what I'm trusting God right now, is to get some things out of the way, because like I told God, I wanted my own place, and that's what I'm trusting God for, because I'm basically a person that I like to stay to myself so that I can hear God clearly. I don't like to be around, like, a lot of chaos or anything like that.
Okay, so now let's walk this through. You know, we have to walk through this thing. So you're living with someone, and they want you to pull your weight financially. Do you have a job?
Yes, I do. I am working. I'm actually calling you now to work.
Okay, so you make the money. Are you paying these people for staying there?
Yes, it's my daughter. It's my daughter. It's my mom also. It's like if they need something, it's like this. They take their money and do what they want to do with it, and then they expect me to come in and help them.
Okay, so I'm moving with you now. So, but you do pay your share. In other words, do you all have an agreed upon amount of money that you need to pay to stay there?
Yes, when my daughter asks me for the money to pay the bill, I do, and I help her.
No. I'm asking, do you have an agreement? Because you need, obviously, you all need an agreement, a set amount. We think for you to stay here, you should pay us this much a month every month. Is that what happened?
No. When I would give her a certain amount of money, it's always, okay, I need this, I need that. And that's why I'm just trusting God, because it's like a pattern that actually I can say it's my fault. You know, with my family, because anytime they used to ask me for money, I used to give them large amounts of money and just do without myself. So I guess I created that monster.
Well, now, but the thing that you got to be there. So I'm going to pray for you to get a place, because you need to get a place. And you seem to have learned your lesson. So, you know, you pretty much wrap your head around what the problem is and how to fix it. The thing that you need to consider is, when you get that place, will you live up to your new commitments to yourself to not just funnel and feed them cash? So that's something
yes.
that you have to work through. But I will say this to you. You need to establish a set, if you're going to set up boundaries, and obviously you don't have any, if you're going to set up boundaries, and you need to talk with them, and you need to find out exactly what it takes for you to be there. Pay that and no more, and let them learn to manage their money. And then you're going to have to obviously break this addiction that you need, because you have an addiction to them being grateful to you. That's your, you need that. And that's what you're going to have to deal with. You need them to be grateful to you. You don't even want them to be indebted. You want them to be grateful to you to see that, hey, you are the rescuer. You can come in and fix it. And so you are going to have to really break that need to be celebrated for being Miss Fix-It. That's a big deal
yes,
for
ma'am.
You. And so as
yes,
you,
ma'am.
As you, if you're going to start breaking that, then my first suggestion to you would be find out how much it takes for you to stay there. Pay that and no more. Pay it on time. Don't give an extra nickel, dime, or penny. While you're doing that, create whatever account you need to move out. Because, see, the way this is going, I'll tell you what it looks like from an outsider's perspective. It looks like I want to get a place. God's not giving me a place. I'm telling you what it looks like. It doesn't have to be that, but this is what it looks like. I want to get a place. God's not moving on my behalf. I'm stuck with my family. They're milking me dry, and so I can't get a place. But what it looks like is that as long as I continue to give in to them and I can't get a place, I don't have to get a place, I don't have to move, and I don't have to have the separation. Do you see what I'm saying to you?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So here's what you want to do. If you are committed to getting a separation, the first thing you want to do is set the first boundary. This is how much it costs for me to be here, or this is what I can afford every month. I'm going to pay it on this day, and that's it. I will take care of my other expenses. You take care of yours. Then whatever monies you have left over that you have been using to get this gratitude going with them, you're going to put it in an account for you to arrange to get your own place. Now, that's the second thing. The next thing that I would suggest to you is, we can pray for God to find someplace else for you to board, because sometimes boarding with strangers is a lot better. You give them their little
yes.
$300 a month, they're done, you know? So I'm going to pray yes. for God to find another place for you to board. But in the grand scheme of things, you have to ask yourself how much I really want to get out of here. And that question only you can answer, because if you genuinely want to get out, God's going to get you out. But when you get out, you cannot buy back into that problem. And that's where we want to make sure that you get free from. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to go, and I mean it, even with your mom, even with everybody. That's my suggestion to you today. God, I thank you today for this wonderful daughter of yours. And, God, she is a daughter. And I thank you for her heart and her love for you, her attentiveness for you. But, God, right now she's reaching out for you. I want her to learn, Lord Jesus, why it is you are slow to respond to a need. Let her meet that thing first and foremost, head on, so that she'll understand you can move her tomorrow, but with that, fix the situation. And so I'm asking that you visit her soul, Lord, that you go in and just begin to unlock the dark places that she can't see and the things that she's forgotten, and reveal to her what she must do to get this thing worked out in her soul for you to move her on with life, God, because this is not a physical location. You want to move her in life. You want to move her being out of their lives and into your world and into your righteousness. So I'm asking, Father God, that you visit her and that you give her the answers. And then, Lord, as she grasps it, I'm asking that you would move by your power in that land and create an opportunity for her to relocate and to walk out the newness of life that you have purchased for her with your blood on the cross. I ask you to do it, Father. I'm asking you to do it immediately. I'm asking you to do it, God, within the next 10 days. Give her a miracle, God, by your spirit. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen and amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to call me back and let me know. And meanwhile, you're going to go to my Facebook and put your name on there so I know how to say it.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Ashley.
Praise God.
Hey, listen, I like to get names right because names are important. You know, I don't like to mess over names.
All right. Well, Dr. Price, we are down to the last 90 seconds of the show.
Okay, so you can close out with a wonderful announcement, and we will see and talk to everybody next week. Don't forget, you can download it, pass it on to your friends. I want to thank you all who have been passing it on. You've caused so many listeners to come up on my site. I can't even tell you. So continue to do it. Love you. We'll talk next week. God bless.
All right. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. As she said, keep up on the lookout for everywhere Dr. Price is going to be and what she is going to say when she is there. We love you, and we'll hear you on the line next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.